The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave. Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available, as always, on iTunes, Stitcher, and NFL.com/Sheck.
S-H-E-K, Sheck, Sheck, Sheck.
Unfortunately, another week of off-field ugliness. Like I said at the start of the week, though, I just don't want to indulge it. And you know what? This podcast bears my name. Ergo, we'll do as I please. We're going to press forward and talk about actual football. I'm anxious for week three, not just because I love the segment that we're going to do here in a little while here when we pick the games with our pals, Handsome Hank and Elliot Harrison. I love doing that any week of the football season, but week three's games are especially juicy. We're going to go over those. Also, I do it pretty much every time this guest comes on the show. Like Babe Ruth in the 32 World Series in Wrigley Field, calling my shot, this show is going to be a good one. I know that because the 2013 Shecky Award winner for our favorite football playing guest, A.J. Hawk, is going to be calling in a matter of moments here. So, like I say, if you've listened to him before here on this show, you know that's always fun stuff. So we're looking forward to kibitzing with him as his team gets ready to go to Detroit and play them Lions. That should be a shootout. Meantime, like I say, some things to kibitz about before we get to the Red Challenge Flag segment. First of all, in last week's segment, I told you Jay Cutler would lead the Chicago Bears to victory by throwing four touchdown passes. I was that specific about it, and I was spot on. Kudos to me.
Dameshek's a genius.
Oh, thank you, A.J. Hawk. He's on the line a little early, I guess. Oh, no, that's from a previous, but it still holds true that I am a genius. So I wanted to celebrate myself on that one, and we're going to talk about the best survivor pick for you if you're in a survivor pool. We'll see what else comes up along the way. Right now, let's say hello, first of all, to our pal, our resident Dallas Cowboys / Romopologist fan here. It's Elliot Harrison. What's the poop, fella?
I've been taking some shots.
Oh, you'll take a shot because yeah. I saw on NFL.com we both participated in the most recent written instant debate. They pose questions to us, do the editors. We write up a few sentences in response. The question was, NFC East quarterback you trust the most going forward? Everybody, I think, said Nick Foles. And that's not because of Nick Foles so much as it is the offense that he gets to play in with Chip Kelly. You're the only one who said Tony Romo.
You know, I thought about going Foles, but then I saw that all of you guys picked the same guy. So I thought, you know, maybe it's time for a little dissension. So I broke them all down. It was going to be Foles or Romo. It's not going to be Cousins.
How surprised were you that they went on the road and won that game? I met Tennessee. We get too excited early in the season about certain teams or get overly wrought about, this team's doomed, they're 0-2. I think the Saints are going to be fine. Do you have any optimism now for the Cowboys, or are you still where you were?
No, I'm still where I am, where I was. I think what they did really well was run the football.
Yeah,
and
that's
I think
right.
they're taking it out of Romo's hands, but I think some fans are misreading it as it's a reaction to him throwing the interceptions against the 49ers. I mean, he only threw 10 interceptions last year. I don't think they're worried about that kind of game again. I think right now he just physically can't make some of the plays that we're used to him being able to make. They know that, and until his back gets stronger, they're going to run the ball.
Well, and listen, that's got to be their long-term plan. It's
right.
A sound, rational approach to doing things when you have a crummy defense. Obviously, you want to keep the clock spinning,
yep.
And if they can run it as effectively as they have, my only question is, I just don't know if DeMarco Murray, 29 carries is the equivalent of 45 20 years ago.
Right.
Really, how often do you see in a football season one back at 29 totes of the ball, let alone with a guy who's injury prone like DeMarco Murray?
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I tweeted out a couple of weeks ago and I got some responses that he's long been really overrated because people thought he was just awesome. Well, you got to be on the field to be awesome. And I think people saw potential there, but I don't want to get too deep into the Cowboys. But I'm
interested in them because they're
sure.
One of the more popular teams, and I think everybody sort of closed the book on them, and myself included, before the
sure.
season even started.
Well, it'd be a good pick for our Red Challenge Flag segment, I think.
All right.
Cowboys at Rams. But I was going to say that they have really good depth. Lance Dunbar from University of North Texas, my alma mater, is very explosive, and then they have Joseph Randall, they have other backs that can come in and run the football for them. I thought it was interesting that one of the Dallas things is that the Cowboys road blues are cursed. And if you've noticed a trend in the NFL, and I think Bill Belichick's really the guy that got this started, is teams, home teams in September are wearing their whites so that their guys don't get hot, like San Diego versus right. Seattle. And Tennessee did the same thing. They wore their whites, made the Cowboys wear their blues, and they lost.
It is, but for the record, sartorially speaking, as the uniform monitor, those navy blues are not good. And
you don't like them, huh?
No, the royal blues that they wore in Super Bowl V and they wore all through the 70s, those are all right. They should go back to those numbers.
Well, the last game they ever played in those, Dave, do you know what the last game they played in those?
I would guess it's they make the switch in 80 after 81, because 82 they play in the NFC title game against the Redskins, and that was the first year of those. So 81,
you're almost spot on. 81 is when they went to the Navies, because yeah. in 80. They went to Veterans Stadium, they played Philadelphia and got hammered sure. in that game wearing the royal blues. They said enough. The next year, 81, they went to the Navies. But you're
1910?
Right,
1910, was that score?
I think it was 20-7.
20-7 yep. when Wilbert Montgomery.
Yep.
We don't celebrate the name Wilbert enough. We haven't heard Wilbert before or since that I'm aware of. Anyhow, let's introduce the other guy sitting here patiently in Studio 66, keeping his yap shut until we can introduce him, I guess. But now, Handsome Hank, you're on camera. I don't know this particular episode of the DDFP is being pushed out, but here in Studio 66, maximum strength! We are, in fact, at full and maximum strength now, because the cameras are up and running, and as soon as next week, I expect, or maybe even today, some of this video will get pushed out and the people are going to get to see why I call you handsome.
Or just new Studio 66.
Thank you for that interruption, Black Tie Behind the Glass. But, all right, let's say hello to him here. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you doing?
I am very well indeed. Thank you, Dave. And I didn't
is
realize...
Is that an English accent that I heard?
That's right. Terrence yes, Newman has correctly ID'd it. You know what? This was interesting. Some people on Twitter have noticed that our old pal, Terrence Newman, Black Tie, please, heed the word of the Czech Republic. They have requested Terrence Newman's return to the DDFP, and I'm all for it. They've noticed that even at 36 years of age, he's playing very well.
He is.
Early in the season.
I think
so. People
we talked
are
about
excited
it last
for
week.
That. Yeah. Oh, we did.
We did. We mentioned it.
And we did talk about him, right. Yeah. So he had another great game yep. against the Falcons. So, yeah, so people
let's
want him
get
back.
Him in here. Yes, or on here.
Yes, right. Anyway, so, yeah, conflicted emotions for you, because you sat here and told us what was going to happen. You said the Bills were going to take this victory at home against your Dolphins. Now, you were sad in your heart, but in your brain, you were satisfied.
No, I wasn't.
You said what was going to happen.
Well, yeah, it doesn't feel good to be right in this case. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel good about the fact, but I saw it coming, so at least I was prepared for it. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel good, though.
This is an intriguing game that they have coming up this weekend. We'll get to that one in just a second. By the way, speaking of the Czech Republic, that reminded me to say, I have heard, Handsome has heard, those other decision makers have heard the Czech report. A lot of acrimony from the people online about, oh, this breaking it up piece by piece. The Czech report, of course, the recurring segment we do in season each week to sort of review the weekend that was. We've been doing it now for 5 years. We tried to break it up into five parts this year, I guess so you could pass around the individual pieces to your pals and everything. But the people have spoken. They don't like it. They don't like all that breaking up. They want to see, you know, unfiltered Damashek, you know, for five straight minutes.
That was the feedback, definitely.
We looked at the Czech report. We thought it'd be good for Cowboys.com.
Oh, thank you, Jerry. I'm flattered by that, especially as often as your quarterback comes up on it.
Exactly. Hey, Dave, did you know that a year ago today, we were sitting in this very room, mm-hmm. and the Colts traded for Trent Richardson while we were on air?
Is that right?
From the Cleveland Browns.
I remember that.
And I think, you know, it'd be awesome if Black Tie could pull the little sound clip of you reacting to that.
I love it. I can't hear it.
And here it is.
Trent Richardson's been traded to the Colts.
That's not true.
It's a true story. Breaking news on NFL.com.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I'm speechless. That is unbelievable.
Is this some silly English prank, Hank?
This is no.
You're saying Trent Richardson.
Dave.
The guy drafted out of Alabama.
Dave.
Trent, it says on NFL.com, breaking news, Trent Richardson traded to the Colts. What gives?
Well, you know what I have to say? I'm just stunned that Black Tie did some legwork and actually found that.
Who'd have thought it? But so I did some legwork this morning because I was interested in what's happened in that year. And so I wanted to have a look at over the...
How's it worked out? Have the Colts won the Super Bowl with him?
Well, he... So since he... I think it was after week two of that season, of last season. So Trent Richardson, in that time, in a season's worth of games, has gained 558 yards on 184 carries at an average of just over 3 yards a carry.
Oof. It is strange.
And I think he maybe... I don't know if you watched that Monday night game. I think he maybe had his best game in Colts uniform.
He did, except he dropped the ball.
But it still wasn't good.
Twice. I don't understand.
Lost one, but fumbled it twice.
And in the meantime, Ahmad Bradshaw looks like sort of we've forgotten him. Ahmad Bradshaw is one of those guys who seems like he's been around for 20 years, and he's still relatively young. What is he, 28, I think? Mm-hmm. I don't. He's not decrepit by any stretch.
I think he came in 2008. I think that was his rookie year.
Doesn't it feel, though, like he's been around forever?
Sure.
And then he vanishes early last year. He would have been... Well, that trade probably doesn't happen if Ahmad Bradshaw doesn't go down. But, yeah, it is weird that I guess it's trying to validate giving away a first-round draft pick and everything. But at this point, if you look at the on-field deeds, you'd have to say apples to apples. You're crazy to put anybody other than Bradshaw out there,
but
right?
But so for you, where's that rank in the worst trades of all time?
Boy, you're putting me on the spot. I don't know. Give me some other ones because NFL trades don't happen that
right.
much.
We thought Galloway for two number ones was pretty good.
Galloway for two number ones. That's a good one.
We liked that a lot. He paired with Troy for one quarter.
Did anybody give anything away to get Haynesworth? Because that would have to be about as bad as you could do.
No, that was a $100 million free agency deal.
They gave some money away.
Yeah, a little bit.
What's your answer? Do you have an answer?
I just gave it to you.
That's number one.
Well, not in NFL history. I mean, I think you have to look at the Herschel Walker deal. I mean, I don't know that you...
You know what's interesting? If you go back and look that up, that didn't destroy the Vikings, I don't think. It sort of changed their arc, but... The other thing is, too, and it's because I guess Hall of Fame is on my brain, and I know it is yours as well, EH, when these votes come up. It is amazing. Herschel Walker, I know we've talked about it, but that guy, that history forgets the phenomenon of him. You know, it's weird. You know, we as sports fans, it transcends just being a college football or pro football fan. Herschel Walker was this revelation when he broke out at Georgia, and even then when he goes to the USFL, that was a major deal that he decided to not go NFL and go play for the New Jersey Generals. And people don't know anything about, most people don't know any numbers or anything from the USFL, but he rushed for 2,000 yards there. He took had a lot of carries. By the time he got to the NFL, I think it was he spent two seasons in the USFL. He'd already taken a fair amount of a beating. Three seasons?
We were just talking about this in the newsroom, and I liken it to like a hit album. So when Thriller comes out, we all remember Billie Jean and Beat It. We forget that Wannabe Starting Something was a hit at that time. It just doesn't have the replay value. And you forget like who were the really great players or at that time. Eric Dickerson is the guy you look back at. He has a rushing record. But let me tell you, when they came out, Herschel Walker was the star, not Eric Dickerson.
This was not a Ryan Leaf, Peyton Manning debate.
No.
It was Herschel Walker is going to be the greatest running back in the history of the NFL.
Period. 5,300 yards, I think, Dave, in 3 years. Started as a true freshman. Think about that. 5,300 yards in 3 years in college. Then he goes to the USFL, as you mentioned, 2,400 yards rushing in one season. 2,400. And even with the Cowboys, his first year, he caught 76 balls.
Right.
I mean, he was a legitimate
star. He develops this build like a tight end or Keith Byers or something, and he was just a straight-ahead runner. But at Georgia and early in his career, he was more willowy, you know, kind of thing. And that leads me to, as we move forward to modern day, a guy who we've been talking about here for the last fortnight or so with Daniel Jeremiah, who, by the way, as usual, dynamite stuff from him. On our earlier podcast this week, go back and dig that one up. DJ, always tremendous, and you can listen to his own new podcast here at NFL Media, the Move the Sticks podcast. That's also available on iTunes and Stitcher. So like I say, dig that one up. But he and I, and in fact, he was a man about it. He went on social media, and he extended a sincere apology to me because he realized he was wrong. I am right. Le'Veon Bell is, in fact, he's gone the other way from Herschel Walker. He's gone from clunky college back to now willowy, wiggly NFL halfback. He looks terrific.
And he's young.
Yeah, well, that's my question. Before we get to the red challenge flag segment, get ready here, Black Tie. It's time for the coin flip. E.H. and Handsome Hank.
I love that sound effect. Yes.
Le'Veon Bell, you have to choose, yes. And this is your running back now for the next half dozen, let's say, years. Le'Veon Bell or fellow sophomore running back Gio Bernard. Who would you rather have?
I'll take Bell.
Le'Veon Bell.
I'll take Bell over Gio. I think Gio's a little too small to handle that load for 6 years.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm surprised.
I agree. I know this isn't where you're really going with it, but just when I watched, I'm not sold that Gio Bernard's a better running back than Jeremy Hill.
Well, that's why they drafted Jeremy Hill, right? If the Bengals believed in him, they probably wouldn't have had to make that pick.
I see a little, and they're not the same player because C.J. Spiller was a track guy, but I see a little bit of the same tendency to try to bounce things. Sometimes you just got to know the value of a 2-yard run, and I feel like Le'Veon Bell does. I think he gets it. Sometimes I see Gio dancing a little too much or just trying to bounce it just a little. I'm nitpicking because I think he's a good player.
Well, I mean, the value of it, that takes us full circle. Trent Richardson could teach everyone the value of a 2-yard run.
Yeah. Well, but by the way, Gio Bernard, to me, his football doppelganger is, I don't mean he looks the same in the face, but in terms of the way he looks on the field, is Barry Sanders. I'm not saying he's as good as Barry Sanders. This is how I got into trouble with Daniel Jeremiah in the first place, by saying I felt that Le'Veon Bell, you saw shades of Shady McCoy with his wiggle in open space. Gio Bernard, the way he bounces around in body type too, right? Yep. They're that stocky, thick leg kind of – they're not – necessarily fast straight ahead so much. Their greatest virtue is the way they can shame people and take the jock off the defender.
That run against the Dolphins on Thursday Night Football on Halloween last year is the prime example of him doing that.
Hey, Black Tie behind the glass there. If you want to throw one out here, you said, hey, throw out a couple more. And Black Tie is the boss, so if that's what he wants to do, we can do it. Hey, how about this? You know what? I'm sorry, Black Tie, I'm going to interrupt you. You can meditate and come up with one on your own. How about this one, fellas? This involves the Cincinnati Bengals, who looked positively fearsome playing the Atlanta Falcons. Really, the Falcons looked out
great
of their
win.
Depth. You know, they come off of the big win against the Saints, and it was rendered sort of meaningless or moot when you go up against a brawny team like the Bengals are. It does not matter how you. It's the same way the Seahawks could make the Broncos look like they did in the Super Bowl. It's sort of like, they should be able to score enough points, and it doesn't make a difference when the other team is just physically stronger than you are. So, Cincinnati Bengals or Denver Broncos, coin flip, AFC's best team 2 weeks into the season. Handsome Hank, I start with you.
Good. I wasn't going to do it without the sound effect. I'm going to say the Broncos are a better team right now. I think if those two went head to head, it's still going to come down to the same thing. Andy Dalton's still the Bengals quarterback.
All right. Reminder: Broncos have not only lost to the high powered offense of the Colts on national TV, they almost blew it against the Chiefs, and no one, including the Chiefs' relatives, thought they had any chance in that game. EH, how say you?
You know, I'm going to go with the Denver Broncos myself, and
of course, I want to interrupt the power rankings are available at NFL.com that EH puts out during the season every week there, and he did have the Broncos ahead of the Bengals.
Yeah, right now. Broncos 1, Cincinnati 2, but these teams, I wanted to check the schedule. I thought for sure they matched up in Cincinnati. They do. Week 16. That is
one to look forward to.
That's a Monday night game. Isn't week 16 always the last Monday night game?
That's correct.
Yeah. Right.
So the last Monday night game of the season, Broncos at Bengals. I like Denver better too. And part of the reason I like better is the upside. I don't know how much upside Cincinnati has other than Jeremy Hill. I think they are what they are right now. Mm-hmm. I think Denver, Hank, has a tremendous amount of upside because – you know, a lot of times when you put free agents together, they take a while to develop that continuity. When DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller start balling and T.J. Ward and Aqib Talib, I think that defense is going to be a lot better than it is right now today.
Very interesting.
What do you say, Dave?
I ultimately will go with the Broncos as the superior team. But, you know, like you say, when you start bringing in free agents and upside, you start talking about all that, it always ignores. It's sort of like the OKC Thunder in the NBA. You know, they don't make that while other teams are bringing in new pieces. OKC, you're sort of like, well, they're just standing still. But the reality is Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook and the other young pieces they have are going to get better. The individual player is going to get better who's already in-house. And Andy Dalton is the you know, obvious question mark. He remains the X factor of not just that team, not just the division, but perhaps the whole conference. If he's good, if he's a top 10, top 12 QB, statistically, decision-making-wise, everything, over the course of the season, that's the best team in the AFC, I think. I just don't – I'm not ready to sign off on Andy Dalton as a guy who's going into January and beating good teams if he has to go on the road or anything else. But they continue to play like this, and they have a home game. They get a bye, then a home game. Then it's reasonable to think they could go to the Super Bowl.
I'm going
to
bring up a Damashek 2011 Fantasy Friday, Fantasy Live reference here, the going to IKEA, the spur noodle. Or whatever, where you got the instructions out and you know you're going to get a coffee table out of this deal at some point when you can figure out how to use the little tool and put together the directions and everything from IKEA, and then eventually you have it. I think that's what's going to happen with Denver. Unless they end up like the 2011 Eagles, which never seemed to get their dream team together, or the 2000 Redskins, somebody like that. But I don't think they did it. I don't think they brought in that many new pieces that they're going to have that kind of problem.
All right, let's get to it then, Black Tie. This leads us into a big game. It's the Super Bowl rematch. That's how we're going to start off the Red Challenge Flag segment.
Red Challenge Flag Mix.
All right, fellas, let's get into it now. This is a pretty straightforward pick segment, except that one of you will assert who you think is going to win the game that I throw up to you. The other has the opportunity to throw the Red Challenge Flag and say why the other is wrong. We'll start with, like I say, the Seattle Seahawks playing host to the Denver Broncos. But before we jump into that, I have to say, last week you heard me on this podcast say that the San Diego Chargers would beat the Seattle Seahawks. I was correct when I said that. But then I lost my nerve.
You waffled.
Saturday afternoon as I sat in my home, I got nervous. And I said, you know what? It was the Nick Hardwick thing. The more it weighed on me, I thought Brandon Mebane weighing on some unprepared backup center is not going to go well, and therefore the Seahawks will win. So I changed it online with my spoiler picks that go on NFL.com.
Did you use the toddler fall over method that you use to pick games?
I gotta get into that.
I think it's a great way to pick games.
I'm going to we'll unveil that video wise. Yeah, you know, if you know with the newborn, you know,
was that a spoiler?
Tip over. No. Okay. Babies tend to tip over if you set them up. They're not able to stand up yet. So if you said it's a matter of time, that's how I pick my games. That you pulled back the curtain there. That's what I do. I put logos of the two teams playing, and I put the baby in between, and whichever one he falls towards, and I know that's the right team.
Safe to say that Black Tie hasn't seen Look Who's Talking with John Travolta? Do we even need to? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, before we get too deep into the Red Challenge Flag, let's play Has Black Tie Seen It? The man who has not seen very many movies in his lifetime, hardly
pre-94.
Any of the classics. All right. 94. Look Who's Talking. Has Black Tie Seen It? EH. Do you think he has or no?
There is no way.
He's seen some weird movies. The wrinkle is that he always sees the worst of any actor's movies, and John Travolta, you know,
that's
has done some good
solid
ones.
Point. Was so it Kirstie Alley, right?
Kirstie Alley. Sure. And
Fresh off of Star Trek 2.
Right. Before Kirstie she Alley. Boomed.
Handsome, how say you?
Literally.
Black Tie has not seen that movie. There's he may zero. Have seen, the chances are he's actually seen Look Who's Talking 2.
That's the wrinkle, I think.
That's
right.
The wrinkle.
I'm going to say the original.
I'm not saying that for sure, but he hasn't seen Look Who's Talking.
I'm also going no here. Black Tie, have you seen Look Who's Talking?
Guys, I've seen Look Who's Talking,
and
Look Who's Talking too, baby.
That is unbelievable.
It is this game. We only started playing it because I said it was a feel good game because it was impossible to lose. Just say he hasn't seen it, and you were going to be right. But these weird movies that keep coming out that he has seen.
How old were you when you saw it?
It's like 1988.
It's probably around 6 or 7.
Is that the funniest movie you've ever seen, would you say?
As a 6 or 7 year old, probably. Yeah.
Because the babies talk. They have grown up thoughts.
I was pretty much a baby at the time, too, so it was pretty hilarious.
You must have related to that. Yeah. All right. Okay, so let's get into it here. And I'm going to start with you, Elliot Harrison. Like I say, the Seahawks hosting the Broncos.
I have Seattle winning. I know I'm not supposed to say anymore. I think I finally get the rules right.
You have Seattle winning.
Yeah, I have Seattle winning.
Dave, this is not a moment I'm going to be throwing my red flag. I can't see Denver going to Seattle and winning that game. I think it's going to be a fascinating contest. Like Elliot just said, I think the Broncos are a very different team. I think I just read a stat this morning that half of their starters are different from February in the Super Bowl, but I still don't think it's enough. I mean, maybe on a neutral field it would be easier, but I don't think it's enough to win in Seattle.
Do you imagine that there's any – we know Peyton is super duper competitive and has a chip on his shoulder, and the 6 months of abuse, you know, more doubt about his postseason and the way he plays in the postseason and all that. How important do you imagine this is to a gaggle of professional football players? We've got to right this wrong that was done to us back in February.
I think it's important, if for no other reason than to prove that you can do it. I mean, if you can go into Seattle and win, you know, Dave, you and I do NFL Now quite a bit. And I, for the matchup tailgate time, I did Seahawks for the Broncos, Seahawks key matchup. I did Peyton Manning versus the crowd noise, because he calls so much of their offense from the line. Well, how, if you can't even hear, your right tackle can't even hear you, and he's just 8 feet away from you, you better have hand signals and silent countdown. I think that's going to be a real disadvantage for quarterbacks like Phillip Rivers and Peyton Manning, who do so much of their offense right there when they're standing at the line. I think playing in Seattle is just so difficult.
I got Seattle myself here. Handsome, anything you wish to impart beyond what you've already done on this game? You'd feel – well, tell me this. Give me a score. Give me a sense of how big a victory this
I'm
gonna is
tell
be.
You. I think the score – I think it's 27-22.
That is very close to what I had.
Is it?
Yeah, 27-24 for the picks.
I've been asking around the NFL newsroom, Chris Wessling from around the NFL, Greg Rosenthal, Dan Hanzus, Mark Sessler, as many people, you know, Daniel Jeremiah, Heath Evans, everybody. I'm trying to get a sense of, you know, not just with the crowd noise, but how that'll affect Denver. But is anybody remotely concerned about Denver? Like I say, they've scratched out a couple of wins, but at home, Denver 10. I mean, 2 years ago, he throws 7 touchdown passes against the defending champions. Then they almost give that game away to the Colts. But the Chiefs really should have tied the game. That game should have at least gone to overtime. And they just couldn't punch it in from first and goal. Zero concern at all. I hear what you're saying, EH, that you think the defense is a matter of time there. But the other side of that is, I would say that about some young defenses. Give them a couple more. You know, I think Chicago's defensive front's going to get better as the season wears on. I think Pittsburgh's hopefully will, for my sake and for any Steelers fan's sake, that'll solidify as those younger guys get better. But DeMarcus Ware's old. He might fade away. He might not get the system better.
Yeah, and, you know, DeMarcus Ware, I mean, I've watched every game of his NFL career. He's never been the enforcer type player that, say, James Harrison was, you know, during his crescendo in Pittsburgh. You look at Seattle, they have a guy like Cam Chancellor, you know, who brings it. That's the one thing I feel like Denver's lacking. And so the reason why the Chiefs were able to do so well, they went on like a 19-play, 10-minute drive. They ended up missing the field goal. Boy, talk about deflating your balloon there to go on that kind of drive. But they held the ball almost the whole game. Peyton Manning's numbers were, quote, pedestrian, but it's because he didn't have the ball. His numbers were actually outstanding. I think that's the way you beat Denver. I think no you doubt. Go right at him. If San Diego, if Ryan Matthews were healthy, you know, we both, Dave, think San Diego's a big threat to Denver. I think that's what they should do, too. Just go run right at him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Physical. And once again, Ryan Matthews is on the shelf, so that hurts San Diego's chances. But I stand by my preseason pick that team's going to win the division.
Maybe the Chargers can trade for Trent Richardson.
Well, they got Donald Brown. Donald Brown had a nice little year last year.
He did.
All right, next up, let's go with, there's so, like I say, I mean, there are some really great games. Let's talk about the one that we're going to be talking with A.J. Hawk in a little bit, the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions. That should be, like I say, a shootout there. Maybe not. Maybe that defense is better in Green Bay. That's my hunch, is that defense over the course of the season is going to be good. But in the dome, you know, 7 points scored in Carolina by the Detroit Lions. Mystifying. Handsome Hank, how say you on this one?
Dave, I've made my pick for this game, and I'm choosing the Detroit Lions.
At home.
At home.
How say you, Elliot Harris?
I'm going to have to reach into my pants, pull out that. I'm pulling out the red flag on that one, man.
Right. That's the first time ever.
Of the season, at least. He never challenges you. He's so afraid of you for some reason.
I am afraid of you, especially Settlers of Catan. I still, I know
that
you're dominant.
Well, my rubber came after you.
You're dominant. You know, Aaron Rodgers has just owned them in Detroit. The one bad game he had was in 2010 when he, if you guys remember, he slid, got concussed. Yes. That led to Matt Flynn playing, and I think Flynn had to start, if I'm not mistaken, the next night against the Patriots on Sunday Night Football. Other than that, he's owned them. I think his career passer rating is 118. Man, the Lions just don't have it in the secondary, I don't think, to stop him. I don't see it. And we always hear about the Lions front four. And how they have these dominant players. When have you ever seen the Lions defensive line?
How long has Sue been in? I've brought this up.
2010.
2010. So this is season five then? Is that my math right? 0-1-2. Right. Anyway, That collectively, Nick Fairley, we can see, we can read the tea leaves. This is his last season there, so he's been a pseudo bust. But, you know, Ziggy Ansah now in year two. Right?
When have they ever imposed their will? I've seen Luke Kuechly impose their will in a game. I have not seen the Lions impose their will. And I guess I'm using last week's matchup, but you know what I'm saying.
I know. I agree. And I'm not saying the Lions are going to win because of their defense. I'm saying they're going to win because it's going to be a classic shootout.
This 44, is going to be the game. 41.
Yeah, it's that kind of matchup.
Okay.
And I think that the Lions pull it out.
I'm going to ride with the Packers defense showing that it's a little bit better.
And you kind of have to, right?
And if we're right, yes. But if, well, I think.
You're about to speak to A.J. Hawk.
Well, that's true.
It would be
embarrassing. I've said to him before, I don't jive anyone on this show. That's the rule.
Come on, Dave. You do sometimes.
I have never jived A.J. Hawk. I told him a year ago, didn't I? I've told him all through the offseason. It's time for that defense to start playing. What the Hawk's response was, you're 100% right. It's embarrassing already. The offense is so good, it is time for us to do something. He doesn't shy from his responsibilities. And finally, Elliot Harrison hasn't shied from his. And finally, he threw the red challenge flag at Handsome Hank.
I just searched Sue to make sure that it was 2010, and only one other player's name came up in NFL history with the name Sue in it. Do you know?
S-U-H?
S-U-H. Just having that.
Matt Suey.
Matt Money Smith's favorite player of all time.
Yeah, the fullback.
Number 26.
Walter Payton, right. And for Chicago for many years. All right, that's reason enough for us to jump in here under the Monday night game. Those Chicago Bears, fresh off the 4-touchdown pass performance from Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall at the New York Jetropolitans. Handsome Hank, or no, Elliot Harrison, I start with you.
Bears at the Jets. I'm taking the Bears. I'm taking the road team.
Okay, handsome.
Dave, again, I would love to challenge Elliot on this, but the Jets, I think, have flattered to deceive a little bit in their wins so far.
Say that phrase again.
Flattered to deceive.
I am unfamiliar with that phrase.
I am. I've never heard you say
that.
I'm sorry.
I don't think I've ever said it to you.
I love it, though. Flattered to deceive.
Yeah,
consider that a frontrunner to join the Damashek. Turns a phrase, ASA, although it's really...
Is that a Genesis song?
It might be.
I'm flattered to receive.
No, deceive.
Deceive.
Oh.
That's deceive. Okay. We all get the lyrics wrong.
I also can't get the Deion Sanders segment right either, so it's really, you know. Right.
Come on, player. What's that? What's up with that?
Yeah, so I don't know. I screw up lyrics and titles all the time.
Don't worry about it. I think that the Bears are going
to
win this game.
Do flatter to deceive. That's not really a Genesis.
Just give Shaq one more night.
Flatter I'm not gonna do to deceive.
You're not going to get one more night out of me.
Do. All right. So let's move on to the next one. The Bears. I don't know. I could the Jets at home. You know, the Bears are,
that's
like
strong,
I say,
analysis,
a little,
Dave. Little, the Bears. I don't know.
I don't buy that they're. Even though I think that they can really take a run at the division as much as I like the Packers, they're still soft. That in the middle defensively, and they've got, not unlike Damashek, soft in the middle. I just could see in September. I think the defense is going to round into shape, but we're waiting for Ego Ferguson to emerge here a little bit. While we do, I think they are susceptible to a team like the Jets that's going to try to pound the ball at them. We saw the Niners do a little bit of that, at least in the first half. So let's move on to the next game. So I'm going to take the Bears, but I won't be stunned if
You could also see it being one of those nights where Jay Cutler kind of gets, you know, gets a sulk on, the bottom lip goes a little bit, and then he's
I just wish we were having a couple picks. Lance Briggs on instead of AJ Hawk, so that we could repeat that they're soft. That'd be soft.
Awkward moment. I said the defensive front. All right, let's move on now to the Niners, who are now off of that loss. Everybody was at halftime tweeting me their anger, their ruminations of what's wrong with Damashek. You told me to start Jay Cutler in fantasy, and he only has one. You know, he has that one measly touchdown, and by the end of the game, I was proven correct.
Yes.
San Francisco 49ers at the Arizona Cardinals. How say you, Handsome Hank?
Colin Kaepernick leads the 49ers to victory in Arizona.
How say you, Elliot Harrison?
I am going to have to pocket my red flag. A lot of red in this game. I think the 49ers win it 23-20 in overtime.
Boy, is that crazy. You and I have, is it the exact same score on that one, EH, let me look up what I put down, but I think that's pretty – oh, no, you know what? I ended up more I thought about it. 26-17, I have the Niners winning that one. It's Drew Stanton, after all, so don't get upset with me, Cardinals fans.
You know what, though? Give him some credit. He did what he had to do last week in New York. Not a sterling performance, but you know what? That's a sign of a good team to me. Carolina going in week one with Derek Anderson winning in Tampa Bay, the Cardinals winning in New York. I get it. Tampa Bay and New York aren't exactly playing well, but either way, you win with your backup, you win with your backup. How about the Rams with Austin Davis, third stringer?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Impressive that they they keep themselves relevant. Like we talked about, that week two game is you get a better effort like from the Chiefs. The Chiefs are likely not going to be competitive because of all the attrition in the offseason and now with the injuries. But you're going to get their best effort when they're looking at an 0-2 hole. These teams understand, boy, we're not even to the end of September yet, and we're about to just go spiraling down the tubes there. It's interesting. We're recording on Thursday before the game. You would expect the Buccaneers, even though they're not going to have Gerald McCoy, one of the best in the game, they're not going to have Doug Martin in all likelihood. I think that team's going to show up just because if they go to 0-3, egad, you know, the wheels are off already with Lovie Smith. All right, next, you mentioned Derek Anderson, so let's talk about the Sunday night tilt. The Pittsburgh Steelers paying a visit at 1-1 under the hot lights of prime time. The home crowd usually shows up. Handsome Hank, how say you?
I don't think Shady McCoy and the Steelers running backs will be – Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers running backs will be able to get a win in Carolina.
All right, how say you, Elliot Harrison? Come on, help us out here. Give us a little hope.
I'm going to have to agree with my esteemed colleague.
I agree too.
I think they're affecting to deceive. What are they? They're. What was it?
I'm not going to tell you again.
They're flattering to deceive.
That sounds more like a.
That sounds like a
Loverboy song.
Yeah, Handsome. Those are your countrymen over there. Why don't you try to do a better Genesis sound alike?
That was good. I just joined you.
Because I know where
and we're going around, and it's all over town. But
you're
it's
flattering to deceive.
All right, that sounded like George Thorogood took over as the lead singer of Genesis. Hey, you know what's weird? I was thinking about this game, Sheck. I bet you remember this. You know how the divisions, they rotate the way they play the schedules. So the AFC North last played the NFC South 4 years ago, and they'll play them, you know, in a few years. When Carolina went to Pittsburgh, 2010, they got hammered. The Panthers were terrible, and it wasn't even a game, and it was a night game. I believe it was a Thursday night game.
Oh, yes, I do remember
Pittsburgh,
that. Yes, I do remember that game.
It was just an awful game. And I thought, it's just amazing how the NFL is now, that in 4 years, a team can be absolutely, completely made over and different with only like five guys left from – how many of those Panthers are left? I'm probably Thomas Davis and a couple other guys from that team. It's amazing to me how much things change.
And it's also – it goes to show that as some of those guys that just a year ago that they lost on defense and the offensive line was in tatters, we thought, and this team was primed to fall back to 6-10.
Jordan Gross retired. Yeah.
Right. You figure – but what it goes to show is, once again, maybe the most important thing, not elite QB, not shutdown corner, just team depth. If you have guys ready to go, there was a sort of a quiet calm in Carolina. Well, you didn't hear Gettleman saying, well, we're doomed. We have to take a step back this year. It just was sort of like, you know, why aren't they doing more? Why aren't they going
out there? Well, it was the wide receiver position that because they went and got Jericho Cotchery and they got Jason Avant, and people are like, that's all you're going to do.
They also added Tyquan Underwood.
All right. Hey, by the way, Black Tie, get him in here. It's our ongoing thing that I find very interesting. We did it. I think we haven't done it in a couple weeks. We bring in one of the researchers from NFL Media. These guys come up with I don't think they make them up. I think they are, in fact, facts. But many of them quite remarkable. Coming into the studio now is Drew Christensen to share what he considers to be the three most fascinating items up for bid this week in the NFL.
You're listening to Dave Damashek.
What's the poop, Drew?
Gentlemen, it's a pleasure.
It is a pleasure for us, and we're in the midst of our Red Challenge Flag segment. I want to anything you want to impart here as we go along, you're more than welcome to. And you were, but the reason I wanted to bring you in is you when we were talking about that Carolina Pittsburgh game, you had a stat for us.
Yeah,
already.
I mean, Ellie, you're not blown away by Jimmy Clausen's 72 yards passing.
Yeah,
Thursday night game.
Is that right? 72.
That is brutal. That I guess that led to the Cam Newton draft pick, really, right? Because Newton was first overall in 2011, right? There you go.
You know what? The craziest stat game of you know what? You as a stats man, Drew, will probably find this one fascinating. Do you remember or anyone in 2002, December? I'm pulling it up here. 2002, Tommy Maddox, the Steelers quarterback at the time, in the midst of that magical run.
Yep.
But they have a blip against the Houston Texans, an abysmal team. They were 4-9. They beat the Steelers on three defensive touchdowns, 47 total yards of offense. The Steelers are a good team. 47 total yards of offense. They beat the Steelers 24-6.
Yeah, that was the Texans' first year.
24-6! The Steelers, it gets even crazier when you get Tommy Maddox's passing numbers. He had a big day.
David Carr, 3 of 10, did not have a big day.
3 of 10, 24-6. It was the craziest result there was. All right, so Drew, chime in with anything, but just real quick as we blow through these. Well, I say the Texans. It's not a very compelling game, but I could see the Giants winning it. Anybody want to jump in real fast and make a case for the Giants?
I will. I have the Giants winning that game. I think at home. I just don't see a Tom Coughlin team falling to 0-3.
That's what I'm talking about. It's the effect I'm talking about. Desperate pro football teams, unless they're abysmal. If teams are relatively closely matched, the team that needs it more in pro football tends to get it. I just don't know if the Giants are even, you know. I mean, they maybe are the first overall pick in 2015. The way they're looking right now, you're going Texans.
Yeah, as soon as Elliot said that, I put my hand in my pants. I'm desperate to pull the red flag on that.
Everybody's taking the Eagles against Kirk Cousins, Redskins.
Yes, sir.
I will take the. I'm going to take that. I'll tell you what. That's a good one. I'm going to throw that one out to you guys actually. And I'll start with you, handsome. Dallas Cowboys at St. Louis Rams.
This was one of the tougher ones of the week, but I picked Elliott's Dallas Cowboys to get on a winning run.
EH?
I don't have my hand in Hank's or my pants on this one. I'm going to go ahead and agree with Hank. I think the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, you didn't hear. He bought them.
He's playing?
Yes, he bought. No,
listen,
he bought
Christensen,
the Cowboys.
Don't be one of these snooty people just because you work at the NFL media, where it's encouraged as it is at anyone who talks about pro sports professionally. Oh, shame the devil that that you would root for a team.
I will get into my Raiders later, but
Do you like the Raiders to go into Foxborough and take down Tom Brady? No, you're not going to do that one. I'm with you on that one. I'll take the Patriots.
Do you want to you want to stick your hand in your pants?
I won't be with that one.
No one's going to do that one. I like the Saints to win at home, finally get off the schneid. Colts get off the schneid at Jacksonville. Bengals over the Titans. Let's do that one real quick. San Diego at Buffalo. Chargers save. I don't know the season, but I mean 0-2 would have been bad for them to fall to. Now they go to Buffalo. 2-0, riding high the Bills. Elliot Harrison, how say you?
I tell you, this was so hard.
toughest one of the week.
Oh, man. I flipped a couple times.
I agree. Hardest game to call the week.
I have Buffalo, and just a little historical note that I think is cool. Last two AFL title games before they did the joint, you know, Super Bowl were Buffalo and San Diego. Buffalo went back-to-back.
Neat.
There you go.
That is a fun one. Handsome, how say you?
I don't think that's going to be the thing that decides
probably
this game.
Won't
probably
swing
not.
It.
It's still cool.
What I don't like it for the Chargers is coming across the country to play that game. But that said, EJ Manuel has the Bills have won the games despite EJ Manuel rather than because of him. And I feel like you know this is probably the time when the Chargers get the win. So I'm picking San Diego.
It's a fascinating game. I'm going to take the Chargers by a whisker. Baltimore Ravens, and let's just do one more, and then we're going to get into the stats, Drew, and certainly if you have anything, any gems to throw out specifically on these games, feel free to do so. Baltimore Ravens, they save their season, temporarily at least, going into Mike Pettine's Cleveland Browns. Handsome, how say you?
I've picked the Ravens for this one.
EH?
I'm going to have to... keep it there as well. Well, Baltimore Ravens in Cleveland to win.
I'm going Browns. I have a sense that the Ravens are not an especially good team. I am referring back to last Thursday night. I did take the Steelers in that one because I thought the Ravens were just a mediocre bunch, and I thought the adversity off the field was going to make trouble for them. In fact, it galvanized them, at least in the short term, and their home fans. They will get no such treatment in Cleveland, and that team is playing well. It's what this has to do with. It's not Brian Hoyer. I say, here's you want a little extra credit pick from Damashek. Will praise me in this very space a week from now. Johnny Manziel's going to score a touchdown in this game.
Drew, all right. Am I wrong? Harbaugh 5-1 in Cleveland since taking over. He and Flacco.
Sure,
that sound right?
Right. Yeah. Let me check. Yes.
That's good. I like that. See? That's crossing the T's and dotting the I's. That's NFL Media
Literally.
Research Department at full power. And is anybody going to take the Chiefs on the road? Because this is, again, one of those save-the-season kind of games for the Chiefs playing the Dolphins, who depends on which week you're looking at. They house the Patriots. I mean, they look good against the Patriots. Legit.
In Miami, in the heat. In week one.
Right.
And where are they this week, Dave?
In the heat in Miami.
Correct.
All right. Hey, you're taking the Dolphins as
well. I'm going to agree. I mean, I picked Miami against Buffalo, and they lost, so I have to pick them again because they're the absolute definition of mediocrity, one out of two, so I better take it now.
So thus ends our pick segment there. To round it out, I think I said I'll take the Packers. I take the Niners on the road, Seahawks at home, Dolphins at home, Panthers at home, Bears on the road. That sums it up. Make sure you join us. For the Pick'em pool as well as the Survivor pool available at NFL.com. Who is our Survivor pick real quick, fellas? Drew, you have one. I'll look at my – I guess Patriots. I say stay alive at this point. You know, keep yourself afloat. Take the most obvious one because we still are forming opinions on these teams. Patriots at home seem like the surest bet, especially if they're at 1-1. They can't afford to slip up here.
You know the last team the Raiders beat? In an early game on the East Coast.
Because my week two picks aren't in there.
The last time the Raiders won a game on the road on the East Coast at the 1 p.m. Eastern start time came against the New England Patriots.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Bruce
Gradkowski, man. He balled out, remember?
Is that right? That was a morning game?
Yep.
That was an early game? Yeah, well, listen, that's something I've talked with Ryan Clark and other Steelers about. In the 21st century, the Raiders have been almost consistently atrocious, and they almost always beat the Steelers, who are generally pretty good. It's inexplicable, including even
talk about the 2009
year.
Game.
Well, yeah, 2009. Yeah,
that's right. I remember I was at a kid's birthday party and following it in shock and horror. Like, what? The Steelers are still losing to this team? Wait, they're still losing? Oh, all right, they got the lead because they came back and they took the lead a couple of times and they kept giving it up.
That's crazy. The last time the Raiders won in the Eastern time zone.
Yeah.
That's what he just said.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Sorry.
All right, Christensen, lay it on us. Give us some of your gems here.
Well, before I get into the gems, I'll just clean up some of those picks. The Lions haven't won back-to-back games against the Packers since 98-99. So you got to go all the way back to Charlie Batch and Bobby Ross getting it done.
Wow.
Wow, I like
See,
that.
This is one. Fun. This is what's great about getting these stats, except that it shames us. See, we allow Elliot Harrison to pass off his information as fact. This is why we have to hold
Who
his
can
feet
name
to the fire.
Bobby Ross's interim coach when he quit in the middle of the 2000 season? Famous college coach, I think, or kind of – I think he coached at Michigan, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm not a college football guy.
I don't know. Who?
Gary Moeller.
Yeah, that's right. Nice. Very good. Yeah, he did coach at Michigan as well. Impressive work there, E.H. He saves face. Did you see what he did there? Don't fall for his shrewd business there. He got something wrong, Christensen. You called him on it, and he distracted us by dangling his keys.
Well, and also, let me get something right, and Christensen.
There you go. Thank you, Elliot.
Yeah.
And Handsome Hank throwing out, I think that half the Broncos are new have new starters. Yeah. Come on, you know it's on NFL.
I know.
It's on NFL.com.
It's on NFL.com
right now.
That's
I think I read somewhere on NFL.com.
I think as I was analyzing this matchup, I recognized it. See, that's what I call flattering.
Flattering to deceive. Here's our fourth member of the band.
I do.
You play keyboard?
Yes.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Do you?
No. I don't. Darn. I play drums.
Be fun if you did. Ooh, get the kit in here.
Yeah, let's get a little hi-hat.
I love it.
So we'll go back to my Raiders, who are terrible.
Yes.
This year's Raiders are one of two teams.
I think Charles Woodson was more
curt
in his review.
Yes. We suck. One of two teams in the last 5 years to allow 400 yards rushing through week two. We've allowed 400 yards on the ground.
Oh, that's like a bad Big 8 team.
So, yeah.
You know? There was Nebraska, Oklahoma would rack up 400 or 500 yards rushing against all the bum teams. Kansas, so over 2 weeks, 400 yards against them. Terrible.
The other team was the Redskins last year.
So, in other words, get Shane Vereen in your fantasy lineup.
Yeah.
Or Stephen Ridley.
Anyway, James White, is he still starting for the Patriots?
Oh, he's the revelation of August, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dennis Allen also has the worst record. As Raiders head coach since Al Davis joined that franchise back in 1963.
Will Dennis Allen be there in week five after when they come back from London?
You think Tony Sperano is going to take the reins after
that? I think he might do.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's going to go down. Yeah. All right, next.
All right. Here's one. It's courtesy of our friends from Elias that you can check.
I like your approach, too. It's sort of like you're about to tell – it's like you're doing stand-up.
Stand-up.
Like you're doing open mic night.
Here's a good one.
Anyone here ever – What's the deal with that, right? Who's with me on that, right?
There were three teams that won 11 games last season that have started this year 0-2. You got the Colts, the Saints, and the Chiefs. There's only been two other times in NFL history that's happened where three teams 11 win the year before. All six of those teams – let's see.
Struggling with the punchline.
No, none of them. I wanted to make sure I didn't say winning record of playoffs. None of the six teams that have done that previously have finished that season with a winning record.
I want to hear that again.
Yeah. So
none of the six.
Yes.
Went on to have a winning record. I thought it was going to be some payoff, like only two made the playoffs. No. None of those even went 500.
Yes.
I mean, even had a plus record.
So will you say that one again?
Yeah. Because I was so eloquent with my original delivery.
We're doing a podcast. I'm sorry. I was busy doing some.
I was busy tripping over my tongue and eating my microphone. the three teams that won 11 games last year, mm-hmm. the Colts, Saints, and Chiefs, they've all started 0-2 this year. There's only been two other seasons in NFL history in which that's happened, in which three teams started with two losses after winning 11
Who
games.
Who were those teams?
So we had the Titans, the Panthers, and the Dolphins in 2009. And the Falcons, the Broncos, and Jets in 1999.
But notice those are both salary cap mm-hmm. era.
Sure,
which
of
is,
course, not
you know,
surprising that that's the case. But still, that I mean, that's obviously that's 0% for what you're saying is the Saints and Colts and Chiefs are all doomed.
Well, but if one of those is going to buck the trend, who you got? You did pick the Colts, right, to win the AFC.
I picked them to have the number one seed in the AFC. Yeah. But, you know, listen, these things are all have the asterisk of major injury, and Robert Mathis counts as that. I am not surprised if you looked at those games that this is the tough stretch for the Colts. The schedule is very easy.
Right.
They really could reel off a number of wins, but I do wonder what without Robert Mathis or defense. Saints are – I mean, listen, the Saints have
division.
Eight home games. The Saints still have eight home games left on the schedule there. They will be 7-1 in those in all likelihood, that, I mean, so now they just have to win a couple more games. They'll definitely buck that. And has so it, will the Colts come to
the I think two of them will. I think the Saints and Colts will.
Has any team...
Nola for the Chiefs?
Not for the
Alex
Chiefs.
Smith not
it
gonna,
will not be the
not
Chiefs.
Not happening for them.
Alex Smith's been pretty good, though, actually. He's not been
He's fine.
Dreadful.
He's always pretty good.
Has any team since the 93 Cowboys started 0-2 and made it to the Super Bowl? Do you have that?
Let me just pull out my laptop.
I'm going to put this young whippersnapper on the spot.
I figured you had the 0-2. You know how they always have the breakdown. If you start 0-2, your chances of making the playoffs
You ain't
are
so tough 11%. Without them fancy numbers in front of you, is you? I'm going to teach you what for. Take you
That's
out
something
to,
I say a
take
lot.
Take you out back. Teach you how it's
when
done
When are you
going
to put
school?
My article right. in the CP?
Now listen.
Is you?
Yeah, is you.
All right, Christians. All right, Christensen.
I got two more, and then we'll scram. We can work on the last name. Nick Foles has the fifth worst completion percentage this season among qualifying quarterbacks.
Wow. He really has thrown some lousy balls. There.
A big problem for him this year has been connecting with his receivers. He's completing only 42.5% of his passes to his wideouts.
I think you made that case by saying that he has a low completion percentage.
Well, no, I mean, he's completing almost 80% of his passes to tight ends and running backs.
Oh,
I just bring that
I didn't
up
know
because
you were saying wide receivers.
Because yeah. DeSean Jackson's too small. If you're Chip Kelly, how much of an impact does that really have on?
That's another big pick of this week, by the way, as a side note. Jordan Matthews gets in the end zone for the first time in his pro career.
Ooh, I like
Watch
that.
He's a nice big receiver.
And then one more, and then I'll scram and let you gentlemen get back to looking pretty.
A.J. Hawk.
You know, the last time I was on your podcast, AJ Hawk was a guest. Is this a
Freaky.
Thing we're going to do?
Yes. So we'll see you.
You look a lot alike.
I was about
deal.
To say, he
you
could
guys
be like a very true. Younger brother.
Anybody ever tell you got some Josh McCown to you? You do.
No.
A little bit. A little Dolph Lundgren.
Luke McCown he gets, but never Josh.
I get Luke a lot. I sign autographs as Luke McCown on Thursdays.
That's what she said. All right, let's go.
Woody Harrelson, I get that a lot.
Oh, yeah, Woody makes sense for you. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I know
Young Woody.
That you... You projected. Did I use that term right?
You
projected.
Did, yes,
thanks.
Thank you.
That the Bucs would be 9-7. Well, if you're holding out hope that they're going to turn around, they're probably not. They've lost their first two games at home, and only two teams in NFL history have made the playoffs after losing each of their first two games at home. You've got the 87 Colts. They finished 9-6 after they traded for Eric Dickerson. And you have the 2003 Eagles, who went 12-4. Won the NFC East.
Really? The Eagles won?
Yeah, they lost to the Bucks. Wow. They lost to the Bucks on Monday Night Football when Jurevicius tipped the ball to himself. It was thrown behind him. He tipped it up.
I remember that
play was sick. I can't remember who they lost to in week two, but I know week one was to Tampa.
I know stuff.
It was a rematch of the championship game the year before.
That's right. That was the one, if I were an Eagles fan. I felt I have no connection or hatred or love or anything for the Eagles, but you can't be a football fan and not get sick for that fan base. When Rondé Barber picked that one off at the, what was that, like the 5 or 10 and the game was over, he ran it back all the way down for the touchdown. I thought, like, I would be sick to root for this team at this point. What was that, 3 straight?
Was that the one for three straight
NFC title games?
That was 0-2. 0-3 was the third one, and that's the one that really makes him sick. That's the one where Daniel Manning had three – was it Ricky Manning? Ricky Manning had three interceptions for the Panthers, and DeSean Foster had that run where he literally ran through three Eagles tacklers, like inside the – DeSean Foster.
Carolina, he was good for him. He was good for 2 years. He's one of those guys. He just got taken down by injury. He was all right.
The other loss that year was the Patriots at home.
Patriots.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So that's it. Listen, Drew Christensen, terrific. I really like this black tie. Let's keep it going. Let's keep these fellas from NFL Media Research, Bill Smith. Oh, a shout out to our pal Sudsy Siddell. We're happy for him moving back to Philadelphia because that's where all his teams are. Those are the teams he loves, but we'll miss him here
LA. Is he going back to play receiver?
Yeah, it's probably for the best. Yeah, he cuts a larger figure than Jeremy Maclin.
Nice wide
Jackson.
Target.
Oh, I don't think Sudsy Siddell deserves that crack on his way out the door there.
Well, come on, player. What's that? What's up with that?
All right, good stuff from you. EH, thanks for coming in. Handsome Hank, a pleasure to see you as well. And now it's time for a little one-on-one time because I believe he's on the line. It's our old pal, AJ Hawk. Oh, yes. This patriotic song can only mean we are about to speak with one of our favorites. He is the 2013 Shecky Award winner for best football playing guest here on the DDFP. He is the star linebacker of the Green Bay Packers. A.J. Hawk, what's the poop, fella?
Wow, Damashek.
You okay? Can you do it?
There in that walk, I mean, that walkout music. I almost got a little emotional there. I'm glad you cut it off.
Yeah, man, I could hear a quiver. I could hear a quiver in your voice.
I'm excited now. I mean, I was always excited to come on your show, but that was, man, good job. Was that Black Tie that queued that up?
Black Tie did, in fact, want to treat you nicely. He knows where your heart is. Hey, did you have more of a quiver in your voice just now hearing that song, or in the second half watching Geno Smith come into Lambeau and almost knock you off? How scary was that for you guys?
I mean, I wouldn't call it scary as a player in the game. I've been a part of games where I'm watching from the stands or on TV where I really want a team to win, say it may be Ohio State, say I might be watching my brother or my brother-in-law play, whenever it was, and that's when I get scared, man, when you're watching from afar and actually you start getting pretty upset too. And our fans, they kind of stuck with us. We were down 21-3 early, so the game started out about as bad as you can really start out a game for a team, but for us to come back and get a victory like that was good for our team, man. We needed something like that.
There was never there was another score that was 21-3 at one point, and it was in the Super Bowl against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that team, if Rashard Mendenhall hadn't fumbled, would have come back and won that Super Bowl. It would have been 7
rings. Is that a fact?
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. That's how I remembered it at the very least. That's rear view mirror, though, Hawk. Let's talk about what people can look forward to: the Hawkcast, the very fine podcast video. Based podcast that AJ Hawk is doing. He's talking to all sorts of famous people, inspirational people. You have a guy coming on or on your show this week who's a Navy SEAL / astronaut.
Oh yeah, his name's Chris Cassidy. I met him last year. He came to one of our Packer games, and they kind of nonchalantly told me, "Oh yeah, well he was a SEAL for over 10 years, and then He applied and got into NASA, and he's been in space twice. He has like over 180 days in space. He's had multiple spacewalks outside of the capsule. I mean, it was ridiculous, man. I recorded a couple months back, but hopefully it's going to be up tonight or tomorrow. And you talk about a story, and the guy's only like 44 years old.
Oh, no, that's the final insult. I was hoping he was at least 65, so maybe I could delude myself into thinking the next quarter century will yield more impressive results for my parents to be proud of. But, Hawk, this I see at some point I resent guys like this. You know, Deion Sanders, Bo Jackson, these guys, all right, great. You're a great athlete. You can play professional sports. That's enough. You don't play two, because once you get to two, now you're officially rubbing my nose in it. I don't care for it. Navy SEAL and astronaut? Fat.
Yeah, that's right. I told him that, and I think I started off when I was it just every time you think about it, it blows your mind, because I have so much – like when I hear someone that is a Navy SEAL or was a Navy SEAL, I'm like, man, I can't even imagine what you've been through and everything you've done, the mental toughness you have. And then all of a sudden, he just decides to jump into the NASA program and not only get accepted, but go in space multiple times, and he's still there. So I asked him, I remember, I think I said, well, what's next, Chris? What are you going to be president of the United States? And I'm kind of serious. Like, if there's anyone yeah. someone would vote for, don't you think that's a good resume?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Who's going to put this guy down? Then again, John Kerry got some slings and arrows when he was a hero as well. But anyhow, let's not get political here, Hawk. I want to talk about what you mentioned there. I think there's an interesting, bizarre psychology when it comes to sports fandom and getting nervous. And what do you think about the fact? You say, like, when you're in the game, you don't get as nervous when you're watching it. And there's something about the human condition. If you've been in grim situations, which I'm sure Navy SEALs have been in overseas, somehow you get as nervous or just about as nervous watching your favorite team play. These guys, I've talked to a lot of soldiers, they get so nervous watching sporting events. It's like, hey, you were, I don't know if you remember, but you were in the Middle East fighting with people. That I think, would make you more nervous. But these guys, the investment they have in professional sports teams is quite remarkable. How's that possible that you get more nervous watching a game than playing in it?
I think it's something that you don't have any, you can't have an impact from the stands or from your couch when you're watching something. That's at least how I feel.
That's interesting.
Like I was in the heart of the game. We're down 21-3, and I'm not joking. I'm not just trying to, you know, as you say, no jive talk. Mm-hmm. I honestly wasn't worried. I was thinking it's just a matter of time before we start putting this thing together. And defensively, we're telling each other, all we need is one good stop. Let's just get one stop. And a guy like Tremont Williams had a big interception for us, and our offense went down, and I think it was 21-16 at halftime maybe. And so we never doubt it when you're living it. But I've told multiple people, I was never – the most nervous I've ever been in my whole life was – watching my oldest brother in just a normal in a wrestling meet. He was a heavyweight. He was in high school. I think I was maybe fifth or sixth grade, and I was watching him wrestle, and I'm not like I lost my mind in the stands. No one could even talk to me, and I couldn't handle it, because it was like if he got beat, I would feel so bad, because it's one on one, you know, it's just them two, and I have nothing. I can't impact the thing at all, and I wasn't going to sit there and yell and everything. I would cheer when he wins, of course. But man, that's when you're removed from the situation, it's really easy, I think, to get nervous and to really worry about it, because that's what I do when I watch anything. If I'm watching golf, I'm watching Tiger come down the stretch or somebody else, I get nervous for them.
Huh. What a funny thing that is. And you're a professional athlete yourself, but of course you haven't watched Tiger coming down the stretch in contention in some time.
Rory. Okay, my bad. Rory.
Okay, Rory.
Right now, yeah.
But Hawk, do you guys talk in the locker room leading up to the Jets game? Hey, fellas, it's not the end of the world if we lose this game, but seriously, let's not lose this game, because we can't get to 0-2 here. That would be grim.
No, we don't. You can't really. I mean, you can't talk like that. I mean, there is something to that, not letting negative thoughts enter your mind and all that stuff. I know that's all that New Age West Coast stuff that you're dealing with out there, but there's something to that, man. There's something to not letting that negativity creep into your mind, because wherever you look around this world, especially with how accessible everybody is, there's negativity anywhere you look. So you just got to find a way to stay positive with it. And we never were going to sit there and tell each other, hey, we can't lose this one. You know, it's not – I know you. I think you have a thing on Twitter when you're talking to people about must win games or whatever.
Yes, I always talk about.
I mean, every game's a must win. What do you mean? I mean, yeah, you don't want to go down. You don't want to be 0-2, but we're just going to try to find a way to go out there and win, man. And we never sat there. I don't think anyone was ever nervous on the sidelines on our team. No one was ever. We didn't fall apart, I think. And when things go bad, is usually when guys start turning on each other, guys start yelling at the coaches, and coaches start yelling at the players, and you overreact. And we had none of that on the sideline, which was great to see.
You always hear that in the postgame, hey, we didn't get on each other. And I always think, like, well, who considered that a possibility? So guys, when the environment isn't right, that is what goes down. It's like, we're down 21-3, and everybody panics. And that's the opposite.
It's like anything. There's some guys that you could find throughout every sport in the world that they're great teammates when things are going well, and say maybe the quarterback's throwing them the ball the whole, and they're getting enough touches, and they're winning games, and they're scoring touchdowns. But then you'll see it every single year in every sport. When things start going bad, there's guys that will turn into poor teammates and want to blame other people and point fingers and blame coaches, blame players, when in reality you got to look at yourself. You know, everyone needs to find a way to make some plays.
Who does that on the Packers? Who's the bad guy on the Packers?
We don't have any. That's the thing. if they sense that somebody's a bad guy, guess what? See ya. They'll ship you out of here quick.
It's Clay Matthews, isn't it?
No, not at all.
Talk about finding the silver lining. How about this, Hawk? I was up in Seattle, you know, for the Thursday night game a couple weeks ago that didn't go so well for you guys. Here's a little silver lining for you. I took a picture and, in fact, tried to send it to you, and for some reason I couldn't make it so. I saw an attractive blonde woman outside the stadium wearing a number 50 Green Bay Packers jersey. How's that make you feel?
Uh-oh. Well, I thought it might be my wife for a second, but she's more of a brunette. I don't know.
No, this
was
a blonde.
She must have stole it from a bum on the street or something. I don't know.
So self-effacing, Hawk. That was pretty neat, I thought, seeing your jersey walk around.
Yeah, that's great, man. Thank you. I wish we could have put on a better performance for them, but Seattle got us, that's for sure.
I feel this way. I feel like a lot of people nationally, and I bet you up in Wisconsin, got a little over their skis about the doom of the Green Bay Packers 2014. Nobody was going to – listen, I know you're not going to say that nobody in history could do it, but really, you went into a buzzsaw. Nobody was going up there and winning that game, right? The place was crazy.
I mean, the place was crazy. We knew going in it was going to be that way, but it's just it's disappointing for us because, yeah, you're right. They were firing on all cylinders and playing really well, and they're a great team. But we felt like we obviously didn't play our best game. So it's tough, you know, if you'd go out there and we would have, you know, felt like we played the way we should have played and lost, then you could handle it a little bit better maybe. But we just didn't. We just did some things that weren't the norm for us around here and weren't what we had been working on the last couple months. So that's kind of what's disappointing. But the good thing about the league and about the NFL is that game was one of 16 regular season opportunities we get. So I knew with one win we could hope we get this thing going in the right direction.
All right, yeah, and a big one coming up for you in Detroit, a fascinating team there. Everybody in your division, save maybe the Vikings, it seems like a lot of 41-38 type games coming up this season in the usually defensive-minded NFC North, right?
Yeah, there's some very explosive offenses when you look at the NFC North. I mean, it's like, yeah, everywhere you look, there's talent, there's speed on the field. In Detroit, I mean, think every position you look at, they have weapons. Matthew Stafford's playing really well too, so their defense is good as well. But so it's like wherever you look, there's good teams in the league. And when people try to, I might have even said it on your show here before, like when people tell me whenever the schedule comes out, I have no idea what month it is, April, May, June. Mm-hmm. People always try to ask me what do I think of our schedule. I'm like, I don't care, man. Every team's good. There's no scrubs here, so I can't. We never overlook anybody, and we know every team's good. It's just you got to prepare each week for whatever they're going to do.
Hey, a lot of Dave Damashek football program listeners are, of course, big fans of AJ Hawks. I solicited on Twitter their questions for you. I'm going to ask you those fast action style in just a second. Real quick, though. I anytime the Seahawks come up, I feel obliged to ask opponents about this. So Rodgers says something at Richard Sherman about, you know, I hope you get a little action this season. Richard Sherman, of course, fires back as he always does. What do you think about all this? I mean, where do you rank Richard Sherman? Do you like it? Are you amused? You're a funny guy. I got to think you're amused by his trash talking, right? It's in good fun. It's not mean spirited, ultimately, is it?
It's definitely not. I'm definitely amused, and I have a lot of respect for him and what he does in the field, obviously. I'm not one of these guys that sits on a panel on TV and grades positions. You know, that's something that a guy like you can do. I don't study corners in the league, so mm-hmm. I don't know where I would rank him amongst the rest. He's obviously very elite, and he's up there with all the best ones. But I have no problem with a guy being himself and a guy having a personality. It's good. It's good for the NFL to have guys like that, and the thing about it is, like, his story was pretty cool, man. Like, mm-hmm. he's very calculated in what he did last year in the playoffs and the Super Bowl and afterwards. And look at him. He's cover Madden. He's everywhere, all over the world. He kind of was very polarizing what he did last year. It spread to mainstream media, not just football and mainstream America and all around the world. But I have no issues. I don't even know what went on with him and Aaron, what was said. But anytime a guy wants to talk or speak his mind or show personality, that's something that Coach McCarthy actually encourages here, you know. So I like it. Maybe it's just because I'm not really out there like those guys, and that's not really my personality, but I enjoy watching people like that.
We got to change that, Hawk. That's what we're going to do. I don't want to just willy-nilly, though, start throwing ideas at you. This has got to be a calculated campaign that we undertake here.
I'm 30, Damashek. You guys don't change. You know that.
That's
when a wife tries to change her husband when he's 65 years old. I'm like, hey, listen, lady. This dude's 65. You bought into this. Just let him go.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you on that. That said, though, if you just made a thing like, here's a good place to start, and this is just, there are no bad ideas. We'll bounce off each other over the next few weeks, and then we'll unveil the new AJ Hawk. But here's the first step. I think you just tell everybody, no more calling me AJ Hawk. I'm just Hawk. Not just in your house. Ooh. I mean Al Michaels on Sunday Night Football. There he is, the former AJ Hawk, now just plain Hawk. That says something, you know?
That does say something. Well, am I going by Hawk or the former AJ Hawk?
No. It's not like the artist Prince. Formerly known as Prince. This is just Hawk. This is like Sting. Now you're Hawk. That's Ooh. It. That would mean people would be aware of you in a different level that way. Then we got to get you like one of those eagle bird kind of things. Like, you know, how they wave on the, you know, T.O. used to do when he was on the Eagles, wave his hands. We got to get you like a sack dance or something. We'll figure it out.
My wings. When I was in college, guys, every single game, every practice, they would tell me, they would all want me to do just like simulate fly, like I was flying around the field like a hawk and flap my wings.
You could have done that. That could have been your thing for the last decade.
I could have, but that's the thing. Like, whatever, it's got to be organic for me. I can't sit there and have a predetermined thing. And I've gotten in trouble for a few things I've done post celebrations that were jokes that went awry on me. But I yeah, I don't know. It's tough for me because then it's like I'm not being authentic to the to the Hawk name if I predetermine something and I go out there with it. But I never say never, man. I'm hopefully going to play football for a long time. So I don't know, Damashek. You might be the one to help me get out there.
I was going to say maybe put a bratwurst in your sock, and if you get in the end zone or a sack, you just take it out and you eat the bratwurst. Or if you ever do the Lambeau leap, go the extra mile, grab the closest beer that you see, and chug it. People would love that. You would be a legend for – do you know how – that would last for all of time, the day that the pro football player grabbed a beer, chugged it after a touchdown. That would be awesome.
Or how about multiple beers after you jumped into this? And we've actually talked about that on the sidelines before, that if – especially if the game was towards the end, say you had a walk-off pick six to end the game, you're going to jump in the crowd, and you might grab 10 beers and chug them before you go in because you're not going back in the field. So how amazing would that be?
Listen, I love this idea. You know, Max McGee is a Green Bay Packer. He went on a twister the night of the Super Bowl. He didn't sleep a wink. This would be, I mean, you know, I think it's charming. There's ugly, real stuff. This would be a fun, nice moment, actually, that I think everybody would get behind, especially if it was the league-sponsored Bud Light. Let's get to the fast action questions here on Twitter. And the first one comes from at Damashek. And it is what's your favorite cheese? You live in Lambeau. They like cheese in Wisconsin. What's your favorite cheese?
Oh, gosh. People in Wisconsin can be mad, but I don't even know any. I don't like any weird cheese. I like, you know, cheddar, American, whatever. I don't really eat a whole lot of cheese. But people, I hate that hoity-toity fancy cheese. I'll never eat that. My dogs won't even eat that.
American cheese, you live in Wisconsin, that's your favorite. I in fact, it's funny because I agree with you. Even in a world of Havarti and Gouda, the most pretentious of all is Emmenthaler. It's Swiss cheese. Why do we have to call it Emmenthaler? I resent that. I don't care for
See, that's how cultured I am. I don't even know what you're talking about.
I got you. Okay. Next question comes to us from Lewis Wilson 81. He asks, why do you wear a smaller helmet that's always popping off your head every play? What gives? I do get that question on occasion about you.
Well, I get that question from the league office, too. well, see, the first game in Seattle, my helmet stayed on the whole game, which was kind of rare. But then this last game we just played, my helmet came off three or four times, I think. But two times it got ripped off, and one time it got pulled off from behind by my old college roommate, my good buddy Nick Mangold, who I grew up with. So I think Nick's to blame for that one, and the ref even told me he missed one on that call.
All right, there's your answer on that. This is a good one from at One Social Assassin, Hawks' favorite and least favorite stadium, not named Lambeau.
Ooh, I played in a lot of them, but I would say, I mean, it's hard to pick one, man. Seattle's fun to play in because it's so loud and so the atmosphere is great.
It's the Kansas coolest City one, right? Isn't it the nicest looking? I've never been to Lambeau, but of the ones I've been to. Yeah, I know. I really do want to go to
that. Yeah, they built it. You know, whoever engineered it, they're smart. It's straight up, you know, so the sound waves bounce off each other or whatever. And the fans are great. But Kansas City is a place that's really they have great fans as well. Worst stadium? I don't know. A stadium that I would have loved to play in was old school Riverfront Stadium the Bengals used to play in. I grew up going to games there, and that place was great. It was just like Three Rivers.
It was identical. And the Vet in Philadelphia, that was those dual-purpose stadiums where the seats would all move. They were machine-operated, and they would slide to be a baseball stadium, and then they'd slide away. That's too bad. Talk about old school. That was the best. The Hawk, you would have been great playing in the day when there were baseball infields still on the natural grass, and it would rain and get all muddy and everything. That would have been more fun, right?
Yeah, I always wanted to be a part of that. I watched some of the old film, and I get jealous of those guys, man. That was, like I said, that's when men were men.
Yes, that's right. At AVFC Goody, I think you've just answered that. He says if you went to Ohio, if you ever parted ways with the Packers, would it be the Browns or the Bengals? So I guess it would be Cincy, eh?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not like I have a choice. It's not like you have a choice as a player. Whoever
I know, but which would you rather do?
Contract. Oh, I mean, yeah, I grew up just north of Cincinnati in Centerville, Ohio. So, yeah, I mean, Bengals were my team growing up.
Couple more real quick. The Ben Rose asks, soft or hard pretzels?
Soft pretzels all the way.
Favorite 2014 fruit?
2014, what is it? Is it different?
I wouldn't laugh at that, Hawk. You know what? You're just because you're the 2013 Shecky Award winner for our favorite guest doesn't mean you're some cinch for 2014, pal.
But did you say favorite 2014 fruit?
Fruit.
Fruit, yes.
The Shecky Awards change. What do you mean? I'm like just the same thing every year. It's all AJ Hawk and apples every year. Come on.
Okay. So
a peach might win.
So I had a 2013 favorite fruit and now my 2014.
Yeah.
I would say making a comeback or making a two-time. 2013, it was strawberries. In 2014, I would stick with strawberries.
All right, that's fine. Strawberries have had a good little run here, but I'm the peach and the Honeycrisp apple. Oh, you don't like a peach?
Apples are legit. Apples and a little bit of peanut butter. I make my kids those snacks, and then I end up eating half of it.
All right, last two. At Ides of Mark asks, any regrets about not playing for a team nicknamed the Hawks, like Kansas or Seattle? It's a fine question.
People have brought that up to me a few times over the years. That'd be cool. You know, I don't know, man. Seahawks, my last name's Hawk.
Now it's your only name.
Whoever else. My bad. I'm the player, the athlete formerly known as AJ Hawk.
AJ, right.
/ just Hawk.
Yeah, right. Last question comes to us from at Shandy Roberts, a great supporter of the DDFP, and we appreciate that. She asks, who is your favorite Hawk? Hawkeye from MASH, Hawk the wrestler from Legion of Doom, Andre Dawson, Dominique Wilkins, the superhero from the Avengers, Hawkeye.
Well, I was never never into many of those guys, but by far, I mean, I loved Andre Dawson, to tell you the truth, but
did you?
I love Hawk the wrestler because his tag team partner was Animal, who is the dad of my good buddy James Laurinaitis.
I thought that was correct. I thought there was some connection there for some
Hawk
reason.
Hawk is dead, though.
Is that right?
Hawk died, I think.
Oh, no. All right, yeah, we're getting nods.
But Animal's still going strong. I see him every once in a while.
Grown-ups on the other side of the glass are nodding their heads and willfully outing themselves as people who are following professional wrestling. So yes, Hawk is, in fact, gone. All right, listen, Hawk, you're a professional football player, and like I say, you're one of our favorites because you're so forthcoming and such a delight. We got to work out, though. I want a nastier Hawk for the remainder of 2014. Let's not jump into anything. Round about Halloween. That seems like the right time to unveil this new thing. And you know, we'll see. We'll get you right as the weather starts to turn. This will be the optimal timing.
Okay. Well,
you don't sound excited though, Hawk.
Well, that's my problem. I mean, trust me. I've dealt with that. Maybe it's my voice. I'm monotone. I have a hard time I guess expressing my excitement, and my wife will tell you the same thing. I tell her all the time, if someone said, "Hey, here's $1 billion tax free," I don't think I would jump up and down. I'd be very happy, but it would be inside. Back, all right, great.
Well, that's cool, dude.
What's for lunch?
Well, not any fancy cheese. We know that.
No.
Or a peach for that matter. All right. Well, listen. AJ Hawk, a delight as always. We wish you the best against the Lions. That's going to be a really fascinating game. And with all the ugly stuff that's been going on around off the field, a really keen gaggle of games coming up in week three. And definitely we'll be watching that one. And rooting for our pal AJ Hawk. Hey, Black Tie, play him off. Give him a little inspiration here as we say our goodbyes to him. Not us, rather. Lee Greenwood. Give him a little inspiration here.
Man, I'm going to have to go. This is going to get me. I just came out of the weight room. I'm going to have to go back if I hear Lee Greenwood again.
I'd like to think of you as a Hacksaw Jim Duggan type carrying around, wearing a red, white, and blue bandana around your head when you're pumping your iron.
You got to be able to do everything now, Damashek. How much? You got to be well rounded.
How much can you bench?
What a great question.
That's going to be my new question for every player.
I'll just say I can bench 900 pounds, Damashek.
See, that's a part of the. This will become the mythology of the new Hawk. He can bench press. I can't hear you. Lee Greenwood's too loud. All right.
Well, he's a great American. Everyone should really take the time to go download this thing.
And make sure you're speaking of download the HawkCast. Tell us real quick, what's the website? What's the best way to get to you?
There's the website, thehawkcast.com. But if you go ajhawk.com, it all takes you there. I don't know. My buddy's running the technical side. If you don't know how to find something now, then you probably shouldn't find it. It's pretty easy to get whatever you want now. It's called the Google.
I love it. That's a great way to look at things. That's right. I've spent so much time. Oh, here's what you have to enter and everything. Figure it out. You're smart.
If I want to find the Dave Damashek football program, all I need is know is Dave. Maybe not even your full name. I'm going to find it eventually within 3 minutes, most likely.
All right, Hawk. Go eat a bratwurst after you sack Matt Stafford on Sunday, and hopefully we'll catch up sooner rather than later.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Dave, dee-da-da-da-da-da-don't, Dave.
Oh, what a peach. Black tie, let's really make sure we take care of this. We simply must change everything about what Hawks – I mean, he's a wonderful man, but we want him to be a bigger star in the NFL. This Hawk thing is if we can get him to be Hawk. Imagine him on Monday Night Football or on Sunday Night Football like Hawk, the Ohio State University. That would be cool. Him chugging a beer in Lambeau after a big play. Cool. This is going to be great in the late stages of A.J. Hawk, or I'm sorry, Hawk's career. So thanks to him. Thanks again to Elliot Harrison. Make sure you check out his work. Harrison, at Harrison NFL. Find Handsome Hank at NFL UK Hank on Twitter. Drew Christensen. You can find him on Twitter. I'm sure you can track him down. NFL, we'll get that the next time he comes around, and we'll be back on the other side of week 3 to review it for you and get you ready for week 4. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.